Praise God. Remain standing for a little bit longer and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Just in the last couple of weeks at our orphanage home, we have had six new children arrive, and beautiful little children. But two of them, we were rescued from being sold across the border into a slave trade, where the children go and basically across land get trafficked into places like Dubai and in the Middle East, where they're used as slaves. And thank God for an auntie who knew what was going on. This mother had going on to have her children taken away, and this auntie rang up the home. Rang up the child welfare. They went in the middle of the night and were able to get the children in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and take those children and get them into the home. The good thing is the children didn't really know what was going on at all. And so they're in a good place now. And I watched them. I thought, oh man, how traumatic. But just after one day, those kids, they looked like any other happy kids that were there. They were so happy to be there. Also, another two little boys. One's Thomas' age, and one's Lucas's age. And parents were, both of them were drug addicts, and these children would just roam the streets. And I have never seen such tough kids. These kids had grown up on the streets. They knew how to make a living. They knew how to steal. They knew everything. They weren't afraid of the dark. They weren't afraid of anybody. And these two little kids, they're so cute. And but we need to pray for them. They finally found a home, and they're loving it there at the home as well. And but they've run away twice in the middle of the night and got each other up and climbed the fence and got out. And they found them down trying to get in a taxi to get taken back to their village where they live. A 7-year-old and a 4-year-old go to a taxi stand to take a 14-hour journey on a 4-wheel drive by themselves back to their village where they lived. And so we thank God that we have an opportunity to be able to help. The Bible says pure religion and undefiled before God is this, is to care for the fatherless and the widows. And I want to thank everybody here in this church who gives faithfully to this home, because we can't change the world in all reality, but we can change the world just by changing one life at a time. One life changed, one child's life changed, is a future family changed. And we thank God that we can do at least what we can do. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through to 4. The Bible says, moreover, brethren. Moreover. Or for brethren. Paul says to the church at Corinth, he said, I would not that you should be ignorant. I want to teach you something. How that all of our fathers, our ancestors, our fathers, those that have gone before, all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the Red Sea. And were all baptized unto Moses. How were they baptized? He's speaking figuratively here. Baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. Everyone say a spiritual rock. A spiritual rock. That followed them. And that rock was Christ. Paul is telling them, I want to teach you that our forefathers were under the cloud. And we know they're speaking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, how they followed the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He says they were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And they ate the same spiritual meat, same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So I want to preach from this title today, The Rock That Follows Me. The Rock That Follows Me. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, let it come alive in our minds. Give us revelation. Change us, oh God, from the inside out. Lord, as your word comes forth, search, Lord, with the spotlight of heaven. Oh God, even the deep recesses and secret parts of our lives. Oh God, that we may be changed to become more and more like you. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The rock that follows me. What a strange thing to talk about in church, because it seems so strange to say that there can be a rock that follows us. You see, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and he's telling them that the same rock that followed the children of Israel in the Old Testament is the same rock that still follows them today. He's not talking about a physical rock. He's talking about a spiritual rock, because he clarifies that and he says, and that rock was Christ. That's right. And so Paul had taught the Corinthian people a great deal about the Jewish people. Although the majority of the Corinthian people were Gentiles, Paul expected them to regard those Old Testament Israelites as their spiritual fathers. These Corinthians that Paul is writing to, he says, your fathers. He says, although they're Jews and although you're Gentiles, we are all the same in the body of Christ. And he says, those people that came out of Egypt, those Israelites that came out of Egypt, they are your spiritual fathers. And so Paul is demonstrating in our text today that there is a connection between the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers. In the text, he talks about the cloud. The cloud refers, if you know your Bible, to the cloud that led the Israelites. As they came out of Egypt and they went through the wilderness, they followed the cloud by day. God led them with that cloud. And if you know your Bible and the story of the Exodus, we know that they went through the waters. They went through the Red Sea. And when they went through that sea, it parted, and it speaks of that baptism, and it is referring to Israel crossing the Red Sea. It talks about spiritual meat. Everybody say spiritual meat. And he's referring to the manna that God provided them from heaven in the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, and refers to the spiritual drink when God provided them water out of the rock in the wilderness, the cloud, the sea, the spiritual meat, and the spiritual drink. But we see this word, and we're all baptized. Everyone say baptized. Now, I want to take some time before I go any further, because we've got two baptisms today after service. And so Paul uses this word baptized. He uses it metaphorically, but it illustrates the purpose of baptism, or the purposes, I should say, of baptism. It indicates that when you are baptized and you take on the name of Jesus, you become part of the body of Christ. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven and you take on the name of Jesus, that only saving name. And so they were both baptized. Then in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, Paul says they were baptized unto the cloud and they were baptized in the sea. And so there were two baptisms for those Old Testament believers. Paul says in the sea and in the cloud. In the sea, it speaks of water. And in the cloud, it speaks of the Holy Spirit. There are two baptisms for Israel, and there are two baptisms for us as well. We also, as New Testament believers, are baptized in water for the forgiveness and the remission of our sins. But we also are to be baptized in the Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we speak with those supernatural language, those supernatural tongues, the baptism by water and by Spirit. And so for the Israelites, there were two baptisms, a baptism by water and a baptism, the Bible says, under the cloud, or the baptism by Spirit. And both baptisms were necessary. You see, the Israelites couldn't get out of Egypt unless they went through the sea. Everyone say through the sea. Through the water, baptism. And they couldn't get through the wilderness. How many people know that life can sometimes be a wilderness? Yeah, life can sometimes be very hard. But they weren't going to get through that wilderness unless it was for the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire by night, which speaks of the Spirit of God leading them, and that cloud by day. And so we need to be baptized in water and baptized in the Spirit. Jesus said the same thing in John 3 to Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water, that's that water baptism, and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so just as it was necessary for the Israelites in coming out of Egypt to go through the water and to be led by the Spirit, the same is with us. If we want to make it to the promised land, which is heaven, we also need to be baptized in the water and baptized in the Spirit. Peter said it in the first message in the New Testament church. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, baptism in water, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a baptism in the Spirit. And so the same baptism that they had in that Old Testament is the same baptism that we need to have, a baptism in water and a baptism in the Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, you can study it yourself. But lost people that believe Philip's preaching, as Philip the evangelist preached, we read there in Acts chapter 8 that they obeyed the preaching and they were baptized and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 9, Ananias was sent of the Lord to go to Paul to tell Paul what he must do. And it used the word must, what he must do. And so Ananias went there and he says he prayed for him to receive the Holy Spirit and he was baptized. It speaks of that water baptism and that Spirit baptism. In Acts chapter 10 tells us about a man named Cornelius who was a devout man and one who feared God. And Cornelius and his household, they also were baptized in the Spirit and they also received the baptism by water. In Acts chapter 19, Paul goes to some believers which were at Ephesus. And the Bible says he found some disciples. And the first thing he said to them, the first thing he said to the believers, everybody say believers. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? A lot of people would say you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe, but Paul knew that wasn't the case. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And then they said, well, we haven't so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, well, then how were you baptized? You see, he knew the importance of these two baptisms. The baptism by water and the baptism under the cloud. The baptism in water for the remission of sins and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that they were baptized and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we read that word baptism, and I'm excited today that we'll be baptizing at least two people. We got two people already ready to be baptized. But maybe there's somebody else here today that wants to be baptized in the name of Jesus. There's nothing like taking on the name of Jesus in baptism. There's nothing like having our sins forgiven and remitted in the waters of baptism. And somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. But today, I want to focus on the rock that follows me. The Bible says that the rock that Paul was talking about, the rock was Christ. Paul is clearly telling us that there is one God in the Old Testament and one God in the New Testament. He says the same God that followed them in the Old Testament, the same God that provided for them in the Old Testament is the same God that provides for those disciples in the New Testament. And Paul says, and that rock was Christ. The same rock that followed them in the Old Testament is the same rock that follows them in the New Testament. And that rock was Christ. And so there are two occurrences outlined in the Bible when water came from a rock. One was near the beginning of their wanderings and one was near the end. And this leads us to believe that this whole phenomenon of water coming from a rock and God supplying all of their needs was some regular occurrence during their time in the wilderness. Water came from the rock. And that rock, Paul said, was Christ, meaning that it was the presence of God. He's speaking metaphorically here that God provided for them in the wilderness. He says, and that rock was Christ. And Paul is telling the Corinthian church, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about our forefathers. They came out of Egypt. They followed the cloud by day and the pillar by night. Manna fell from heaven, that spiritual meat, and water came out of a rock. God was following them all the time. There was a rock following them. God was with them, and that rock was Christ. And so we know what it's like to go through the stages in our life and seasons and even times when maybe we have turned our back on God or turned aside from God, and to know that even though we may have not been faithful, that God has been faithful to us. And those Israelites, as they came out of Egypt, they didn't do everything perfect. They were murmurings and disputings and all sorts of trouble in the camp. But the Bible tells us that there was a rock following them. I want to tell you today that wherever you are, whatever circumstance, whether you have turned your back on God, whether you have turned aside to God, whether you're struggling with your faith, I want to tell you that there is a rock that's following you today. Like David said, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to tell you what that rock is, and that rock is Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He won't let you go because I got a rock following me. The rock that follows me through valleys, through mountains high. When we feel His presence when we most need it, and He knows when to allow us to go ahead and stumble, but He knows that He's going to be right there with us. Even when we fall, He's going to be there to catch us. He is the rock. He is the rock of ages, like that old hymn says. In every age, Paul says, amongst your forefathers and amongst the New Testament believers, in every age, He is a rock. Steadfast, strong, nothing can break Him. In every age there is a rock, and that rock is Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, and that rock is Christ. I got a rock that's following me, and that rock is Christ. Now I love to go through the Bible, and I love to unfold all of the revelation as God reveals Himself from the Old Testament right through to the New Testament. And this idea of a rock is from the very, very beginning. You see, it was in Genesis chapter 28 that we read about the rock. Jacob found a rock. In Genesis 28 verse 11, it says, and he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took stones, everybody say rocks, and he took stones of that place and he put them for his pillow, and he laid down in that place to sleep. Jacob was able to lay his head on a rock. Jacob was able to go to sleep with his head on that rock. After all of his life had been in turmoil, uprooted, Jacob is running for his life. He's running away from Esau. He's running away. He's in all sorts of trouble. But I want to tell you, in all the trouble that Jacob found himself, he found a rock on which he could lay his head. I want to tell you what that rock is. It's the same rock that Paul was talking about, and that rock is Christ. You may be here today and running away from trouble, and your life is in distress, and circumstances have overwhelmed you. I want to tell you that my God is a refuge and strength. You can rest in Him. There is a rest in our Savior, and that rock was Christ. And the rock was Christ. And so there is Jacob. He comes to a place where he can't run any further.
He became tired. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? He became tired. He had to lay down. And when you lay down, what do you need? You need a pillow. And Jacob found it in a pillow. He was out of his comfort zone. Yes, he was in a hard, he was in a cold place. He was in a dark place. He needed to find some strength. He needed to find some comfort. And sometimes the circumstances of life can have you tossing and turning and you don't know what to do. I've come to tell you that Jesus is a rock and he'll roll your blues away. I've come to tell you that Jesus is that rock that we need in our darkest and hardest circumstances. It can be very challenging. We lay down our concerns. It's hard to do it. It's hard to find rest. Anxiety and depression seems to be overwhelming people these days. I believe it's a fulfillment of the prophecy that says people's hearts failing them for fear. Fear and worrying, but not for Jacob. In his most direst time, anxious, fear, worry, he took a rock and he put it under his head and he slept. How could Jacob sleep in that difficult time, unless his security was found in something other than his ability to outrun his pursuers? He was being pursued. He couldn't find security in his own strength to keep running because he had come to the end of himself. He couldn't find his security in his ability to outthink or even to outdeceive those that were pursuing him. He was good at deceiving, but even that came to an end. But he found a place of rest when he put his head on a rock. I put to you today that maybe perhaps that Jacob knew a rock that was more than just some solid mineral. Maybe Jacob saw his rock as the rock of ages. Because how else could he lay his head and all his fears on a rock if it were not God, the rock, as described in Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. And they're going to throw it up on the screen right now. Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Does someone know what I'm talking about today? We've got a rock, and Jesus is that rock. Paul said the same rock that followed them in the Old Testament is the same rock that follows us in the New Testament, and that rock was Christ. Jacob found a rock, and that rock was Christ. Moses and the children of Israel, they're there in the wilderness, and when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, Moses is there, he's leading them. Can you imagine leading all of these people in the children of Israel in the wilderness? And they needed something to drink. They needed some sustenance. They needed some water. And God said to Moses, he said, smite the rock. Take your staff, Moses. Everybody say a stick. That stick had done many wonderful miracles for Moses in the past. That stick, the one that he threw down, it became a serpent. Parted the seas. That stick. He said, take the stick, Moses, and strike the rock. I want to stop and tell you today, never throw away those old testimonies that you've got. They're going to come in handy again. Moses had a lot of testimonies of the power of God with that stick. It was a reminder that what God had done for him. It's a reminder of God's deliverance. It's a reminder of miracles, signs, and wonders that God had performed in Moses' life. And he was still carrying the stick. He still had the testimonies. And sometimes we think that we've grown up too much and we can lay down those old testimonies. I tell you, don't throw away those old testimonies. They're going to come in handy sometime. They're going to give you strength sometime. And God tells Moses, he says, if you want to feed those people, if you want to give them some water, he goes, I want you to strike the rock. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, he says, behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. You see, this rock, through the Bible, was a type of Jesus Christ. Just like Moses smote the rock and water came forth, Jesus himself was smitten. We learn over the Easter time, he was smitten on Calvary. And just as he was smitten, just as Moses smote the rock and water come out, Jesus also was smitten and water and blood came out of his body as well. Another time in the wilderness, Moses needed some water again, and Moses is desperate, and the leadership for this massive group has got him overwhelmed. It's not a picnic. It's unbearable. There's nothing to drink, and Miriam was dead. And Moses faces mutinous crowd accompanied by Aaron. He's just there with Aaron. He went into his tent and he prayed. And the Bible says in Numbers 20 verse 6 that the Lord appeared unto them. And Moses came. He says, God, I need an answer. And God gave him one. He said, take the staff. Throw that next slide up. Numbers 20 verse 8. It says, take the staff and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and I will pour out its water and will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. And Moses raised his arm and he struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out, and the community, everybody and the livestock had water to drink. God says, Moses, you know where to go when you're dry. You know where to go when you don't know what to do. You know where to go, Moses, when you come to the end of yourself. You know where to go, Moses, when it feels like you're outnumbered. I tell you where to go. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the rock, my God, in which I trust. And everybody who was there, when that rock poured out water, it gave everybody to drink. God will quench. God will comfort, because he is the rock that follows me. Everybody say, I got a rock. I got a rock. He's our strength in every battle. How many people know that we go through battles in life? Anybody been through a battle? Yeah? Lift your hand if you've ever been in a battle in life. Look at that. It's common. Battles are common. You're going to battle through something. And as soon as you get through something, Maxwell, there's going to be another battle. You know, God will not allow you to be tempted or go through any battle that you can't make it through. God trusts you. He knows you can do it. He's the rock that follows you. And I've learned in life that there are different battles at different seasons and different stages in our life. That sometimes we go through struggles and battles where God is trying to strengthen us and to help us grow. You see, we're here on the elementary level and God brings a battle. We're a brand new Christian serving God, and suddenly we face a battle. We're like, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. I thought when I became a Christian that all of this trouble would stop. Let me tell you, being a Christian is not a bed of roses. In fact, when you decide you're going to live for Jesus, you can expect that there's going to be some spiritual warfare coming your way. And so you're there and you have your first battle, and a lot of people, new Christians, they face a battle or some difficulty in their life. They come to the pastor, they pray, Pastor, I'm going through a struggle. I don't know if I can make it. I said, yeah, that's right. It's hard because you're just a babe in Christ, but we've got to learn to put our trust in God. And they get through the battle and they say, you know what? I made it. And they take that step up to another level in their walk with God. And you know what happens at the next level? Comes another battle. You know, in business, a lot of us want to get a promotion in business, but you know why you get paid more money? It's because you have more trouble. They don't pay you to have fun, they pay you to have more trouble. So you ask them for a promotion, you don't just think about the money. Yeah, you're going to get more money, but more trouble's coming your way as well. And so we get that promotion, we go to the next step, we're past those little elementary new believer battles. Now we've got another battle at the next level. And we go through that battle. Oh God, why? Oh God, why me? I don't know if I can make it. And we get through it again. And God says, well, I've got another step for you. I'm going to grow you. I'm going to grow your dependence on me. I'm going to grow your walk and your faith in me. And God brings another battle. You see, there's never a stage where we can just cruise and not trust God. Because our trust needs to be in God all the time. He is our rock. You can't do this. And Moses is in the middle of a battle. Exodus chapter 17, verse 9. And in the middle of the battle, Moses has a rock. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 9 to 11, you see, you can't ignore the constant references to the rock all the way through the Old Testament and into the New Testament. Exodus chapter 17, verse 9, it says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose out us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, everyone say three of them, they went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. They were winning the battles while Moses' hands were raised. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. And so Moses, their leader, has got his hands raised and the Israelites are winning the battle against Amalek. But as his hands drop, Amalek begins to win again. When he raised his hands on the mountain, the enemy was defeated in the valley. There's a connection between the mountain and the valley. And when he lowered his hands, the enemy began to prevail. So Aaron and Hur, they're there with Moses and they begin to realize that there is a relationship. Hang on. There is a relationship between what is going on the mountain and what we're seeing happen in the valley. Moses is doing more on the mountain without a sword. Everyone say without a sword. Than Joshua is doing in the valley with all the weapons. Instead of running down to help Joshua, what Aaron and Hur do is they say, you know what? We got to come and hold Moses' hands up. Because as long as his hands are up, they're winning. They're beating Amalek in the valley. At first, they hold his hands up. Everybody say they're only human. Some human help. Sometimes it helps. The Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. Sometimes you need some human help, but they can only help you so much. Sometimes you got to go see a counselor. Sometimes you got to go see a doctor. Sometimes you got to go talk to the pastor or go talk to a spiritual friend, and they can hold your hands up. And as long as they can hold your hands up, you're going to get some victories. But they can't do it forever. Everybody say they can't do it forever. Eventually, you need to find your strength in the Rock of Ages. Eventually, you've got to learn to turn to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and when he let his hands down, Elimelech prevailed. So what did they do? They're holding up. They're saying, Moses, he says, Moses, Hur says to Moses, he says, I'm holding your hands up. Moses, I don't know how much longer. I'm getting sleepy. I'm becoming tired. Hey, Moses, I'm only human. And Aaron's on the other side. He goes, hey, Mo, I'm feeling a little bit like Hur. I don't know if I can keep going. I think we got to turn to the Rock of Ages. Because we can't let the Israelites lose in the valley. And look what happens in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 12. And Moses' hands were heavy. And what did they take? What did they take? And Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone. They took a rock. And they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other sides, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited. He defeated Amalek and his people in the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Write it down, Moses. You got to write this down. Teach it to your children. Every generation needs to know about this. Rehearse it. Tell Joshua about it. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar there. And he called it, the name of it, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. God says, I don't have a problem destroying Amalek, but I want you to learn this principle for the rest of your life. The principle that you're learning from this battle, Moses, is more important than the problem you face. The principle that Israel was learning was more important than the battle that they had in the middle of that valley. If God can deliver you here, God can deliver you anywhere. There is a rock. When all else fails, when your hands begin to fall, when you've got no strength and nobody can help you, I want to tell you today that there is a rock that follows me. There is a rock that follows you, and that rock is Christ. Write it down. Learn from it. How many of us need to learn We've been through battles before. We've tried it on our own. We've tried in our own strength and in our own knowledge and in our own ways. We've tried and we've come up with nothing. And we realize, yes, I needed to put my trust in God. I needed to rely on God. I needed to build my life on God. And we come through it. But then we face the next struggle again. And we try again to do it in our own strength. And God says to Moses, he said, I want you to write this down. Write it down so every generation can know. And I'm part of this. I'm reading what Moses wrote down. Yes, we in the middle of the valley, in the middle of the fight, in the middle of our difficulties, there is only one answer that's going to keep you going. And that is Jesus Christ, because he is our rock. In the middle of the battle, in the middle of the storm, when the seas are raging, when the storms are raging, we've got to build our life on Jesus Christ. Jacob found a rock. Moses had a rock. He had a rock when he was leading the children of Israel. When they were thirsty, he had a rock. When there was a battle going on, there is a rock that follows me. Paul said that they should seek the Lord in Acts 17, verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Though he be not very far, he's not far from every one of us. He's not far from you today. I don't care how far you have wandered. I want to tell you that he's not far from you. Jonah said, in the belly of the whale, God was there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. He's not very far from any one of us. There is a rock that follows me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8 says this. Do not tremble and do not be afraid, Isaiah says. Have I not long since announced to you and declared to you, and you are my witness, is there any God beside me? Or is there any other rock? I know none. Is there any other rock? No, I know what none. When you start trembling, start looking for the rock. When you are afraid, start looking to the rock. Speak to the rock. Run to the rock. I can't face this on my own. Let me tell you, there is a rock that's following you. You got to turn around. Just like David said, he said, in all my circumstances, mercy and goodness is following me. There is a rock that's following you today. And God is speaking to somebody in your darkest hour. God is not far from you. Turn to him. Speak to the rock when you're trembling and when you're afraid. I've got a rock that follows me. I got a rock. David and Goliath, we read the story of David and Goliath, and David had a rock. Nobody can withstand this Goliath, and everybody's scared of him. The Israelites are standing there shaking in their boots, and the Philistines are on the other mountain. 1 Samuel 17, verse 44. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me. Come on, David. I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air. I'll feed your flesh to the beasts of the field. Sometimes even as spiritual as we are and as Christians, we can even feel intimidated by the enemy of our soul. And Goliath is yelling there. He's going to say, David, I'm going to feed you, little boy. Going to feed you to the birds. Going to feed your flesh to the beasts of the field. You're not gonna make it. Anybody ever felt like the devil saying that to you? You're over. Your time is over. Come on. You had faith, but come on. You're gonna die now. You're gonna be being embarrassed. You know, you've been holding faith in God, but now it's all gonna come falling down. David says to Saul. He says, Saul, I don't need your armor. I don't need your spear. I don't need your sword. He said, I haven't proven them. He said, I'm going to go down to the rock by the brook. I'm going to go down by the river. And David says, I'm going to go down there with my sling. He said, because I'm looking for something that's much more powerful than any armor. It's more powerful than any sword. It's more powerful than any shield. It's more powerful than any spear. What's David looking for? He's down the brook. He's looking for a rock. Bible says he picks up five smooth stones. You got to know that in the Bible, you're going to see these things continually unfolding. The rock, the rock, the rock, the rock, the rock. And Paul says, you know, look back in the Old Testament, you see all the times about the rock. Paul says that rock was Christ. And David, in the middle of the battle, that Philistine Goliath is screaming out. He's saying, come on, boy, you can't do it. Look how big I am. I'm going to feed you. Look at, and he says to the Israelites, he says, come on, you're going to send me something bigger and better than this little lad? He's almost embarrassed that a little boy is going to fight him. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter about your size. It matters what's inside of you and who you got on your side. Because, you know, sometimes we're outnumbered. And David was outnumbered. He was in his wrong weight class, if you know anything about boxing. He's just a small lad. He's out of his age group. He's thinking in his mind, he's saying, you know what? God and me is more than anybody. And whatever you're facing today, I tell you, you plus God is more than anything in this world. When you've got God on your side, you don't need to fear. And David's there. Everybody else, those Israelites are standing on the mountain. They're shaking in their boots. They're going, I don't know what's going to happen on this little boy, David. He's mixing with the wrong crowd now. He's taking on somebody much bigger than him. And David says, just give me a moment. I'm going to go find myself a rock. I'm going to go down by the brook. And I'm going to find him. 1 Samuel 17:45, then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword, and you come to me with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. I have a rock on my side. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And David's there. He says, I got a rock on my side. And in faith, he starts swinging that swing and he lets go of his faith. He activates his faith, and that rock, which was Jesus, flies into the enemy. I want to tell everybody today that God is not very far from either one of us. Take him and get back into the battle, because I've got a rock that follows me. Anybody thankful we've got a rock? For every household represented here today, whether you're a single parent, whether you're a mom and dad, or whether you're a child here without your parents, I want to tell you that the only way to build your life and to build your family on is to build your life, what does the Bible say? On the rock. Somebody who builds their life on the sand. You know, it's easy to build your life on the sand. Excavation is easy. It's not hard to dig. You can just scrape it away a little bit. You can save some money. You can get the house looking good, just like the person that built their life on the rock. The person that built their life on the rock, yes, it's hard. Yes, you got to be disciplined. So you got to dig deep, and sometimes you got to go deep down into the ground. But when the storm comes, that's the day of reckoning. When the storm comes, the house that's built on the sand is going to fall. And great will be the fall of it. But when you build your life on the rock, you're going to withstand every storm that comes your way. I'm telling you, we got a rock that's following us, and that rock is Christ. We've got to turn to him again. Families, we've got to get back to building our life on the rock. Individuals, we've got to get back to building our life on Jesus Christ. Jacob had a rock. Moses had a rock. David had a rock. And after David, as he was king, people began to turn back to idols again. They were taken captive in Babylon. I haven't got too much longer to go. And one night, after everything had been taken from the Israelites, their home, and they're taken captive in Babylon, their identity. We talked about it when we talked about compromise and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their names were changed. They were no longer in their homeland, and the promises associated with being in Israel and all of those things, and they're taken captive. They wrote this. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, Psalm 137, there we sat down and we wept. Can you remember Zion? Now we're taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, and here we are in Babylon. And the Bible says they hung their harp on the willows in the midst thereof. And it says, for there they carried us away captive. And then they asked us to sing. And how can we sing in a strange land? The last thing we feel like doing is singing in a strange land. They sat down, they wept, they hung their harps, they stopped singing, they stopped worshiping. But I want to tell you that Israel had more than just a song. Sometimes it's going to take more than a song to get you out of whatever's got you captive. And so God gave Nebuchadnezzar, that captor, the one who was holding them captive, he gave him a dream. The top of the image was gold. The feet of the image were iron and clay. And all of a sudden, while Israel's hands were bound, David wasn't there to find a smooth stone this time. There was no Moses there to smite the rock. There was no Moses on the mountain sitting on the rock. Israel were bound up. They were in prison. They were taken captives by Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar how this whole Rock of Ages thing works. The Rock of Ages. Thou, O King, sawest, and behold a great image. The great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible, fearful. The image's head was of fine gold. His breast and his arms were of silver. His belly and thighs were made of brass. His legs of iron. His feet were part iron and part clay. So this is Nebuchadnezzar looking at all of his reign and his kingdom. And thou sawest. You saw it. He saw that image. Till a stone, everybody say a stone, until a stone was cut out without hands. It was hewn or cut out of the mountain without hands. And that rock smote the image which represents all of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and everything that he had achieved, the gold and the silver and the brass and the clay, all that he achieved. And that rock was hewn out of a mountain, and that rock rolled towards the image. And it says, until that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them into pieces. You see, Israel didn't have a song, but they had a rock. There they are held captive in Babylon. And all of a sudden, a rock is hewn out of the mountain. There was no mason cutting it out of the mountain. And that rock began to rumble. It looked like an ordinary mountain, but there was a rock in the mountain that followed the children of Israel, all the way to Babylon. And it came rolling out of that mountain, and it rolled towards, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it rolled towards his kingdom and destroyed all of it. The children of God were bound up and in captivity and bondage, but there was a rock. The rock had followed Israel from Abraham all the way through to Babylon. And I want to tell you, just as Paul told the Corinthian church, that rock was Christ. Jesus came to their rescue, and he destroyed their captives, and that rock is here today. And that is also prophetic, not just of Nebuchadnezzar holding the children of Israel captive and of how they would be delivered from Nebuchadnezzar, but it is also prophetic of what we have in the world today. All of those pieces of Nebuchadnezzar's dream speak of the various kingdoms of this world. I want to tell you that, yes, this world, we're in a lot of trouble. There are a lot of kingdoms in this world, but it's all going to come to nothing, because every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And while every kingdom, listen to me carefully, while we live in dark times, while we may be living in this world, never forget that the church's 2,000-year history is a story of challenges. Not just challenges, but challenges answered. Why? Because we have a rock, and Jesus is going to come back again. Yes, that rock is coming back again. He is born of a virgin. Jesus Christ will return to this earth again. We will see him in all of his glory. He will come as a rock, and he will destroy, just as he did in Nebuchadnezzar's reign. He will destroy every kingdom, and we will have one kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. If you want to make it into that kingdom, you've got to be baptized baptized in water. You've got to be baptized unto the cloud. You've got to turn to the rock, which is Jesus Christ. We have a rock that's following us. Are you bound up today? Are you being held captive by Nebuchadnezzar and the things of this world? I want to tell you, there's a rock in the mountain, and that mountain is Jesus Christ. That rock is Jesus Christ. David said it like this as the musicians come. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. He said in Psalm 62 and verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Everyone say, I shall not be moved. In Psalm 61 and verse 2, from the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to what? The rock which is higher than I. Psalm 95 verse 1 says, oh come, let us sing for joy unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to what? The rock of our salvation. I've come to tell you that we've got a rock that follows us. And it's beautiful when we look. Yes, we know in the New Testament, we read that he's the rock of our salvation. We read about it in the Psalms. But through the types and the shadows of the Old Testament, we've seen for the people of God, there was a rock that was following them. Even when they were held captive, the rock had followed them all the way from Abraham, all the way to Babylon. There is a rock that follows me. And there is a rock that follows you. Oh, come, let us sing for joy unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let's stand this morning in the house of the Lord. Somebody here today needs to speak to the rock again. Somebody today needs to get back to building their life on Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah said it like this. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord. For in God the Lord, throw that next slide up. Is it there? No. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Everybody say an everlasting rock. Trust in the Lord. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. A rock that you can find refuge and strength. You can find comfort in the rock. A rock that will deliver you through the hardest battles that you will face in life. We've got a rock that follows us. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says this. This is the stone, speaking of Jesus, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He is the chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is a rock that's following us. There is no other name than the name of Jesus by which we are saved. There is a rock that's following you today and you can find refuge. You've got to build your life on that rock. Make him the chief cornerstone. There is a rock.